Privilege to be back here and to worship with you, brothers and sisters. And this few minutes before your election, I too want to say that we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, to whom we are going to see shortly, however soon that may be. And it's wonderful to know that God is in control of everything, including every little breath we take, every heartbeat we get, every morning we get up. There are so many things that we have no control over, He's in charge of. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, let's have a few comments on an elder and some on the deacons. You know, in Love Feast time, we read the scripture in 1 Corinthians 11. And 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, I want to share with you what the Apostle Paul says. And he says, "What? Let it be known that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now that's order. There are a lot of people who don't like that kind of order. They want to make things their own way. But God has a plan, and in that plan, God never had anything out of order. Every time you look at the universe in the sky, all the planets are there. Everything that's done on this earth, God has it all well planned. Isn't that wonderful? And now for His church, He wants us to stay the same way. And I believe that you're a good example of that, and that's what I want to conclude with, hopefully, here at the end in a few minutes. It's a beautiful, complete order that God wants. And as you stop to think about it, as you are getting ready to vote for a person who is to preside over you, you must remember that this church belongs to God, not you or not me or anyone else. And the person that you choose, we believe, is going to be chosen by God, or is already chosen by God, to stand before you. The purpose behind all this is to have someone in charge. Every country, every company, every business needs to have some semblance of order in order to make out and to do business properly. So is every church. And I fear that so many times many churches are split and divided and split again because they don't have this good order. This good order comes from the very thing that we have, God's Word. There is no right nor left. We want to stick to it. So I trust that what I say this evening is based biblically or on God's Word, and I'm not ashamed to say it. God wants someone here, and I thought Brother Ken keeps on. He could just preach a sermon for me tonight. He was all right there. And Brother Don, too. But you need someone to supervise. You need someone to take care of the ministers and to share together at the ministry meeting. You need someone to help you in your councils and to guide the church in the affairs of ministry, of the work of the church, of the mission, of the witness, and so on. You, above all, need to pray for them as you are praying for the guidance for the one to guide you and to have all wisdom. This person is a person who should love the Lord. After all, the first commandment is, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you say, well, we all knew that. That's true. But you don't want someone who is partial. And this is what the scripture brings out very clearly. So you need a person who has good wisdom. And I'd like to share just a thought with you on that. In having wisdom, the person who you choose is a person who needs to submit to God and to submit sometimes even to your fellow people, you. And you say, how can that be? And that's this. We are not a dictator. We are not someone who comes up here and says, I am going to run this place the way I want to run it. No way. That is not loving the Lord our God with all our heart at all. None at all. And we have those, my good people. All you have to do is remember and to study some of the cults in this country, and that's where they have gone. And they all think they're going to heaven or wherever they think they're going. But good wisdom is a man who's going to say, well, we have a problem here, and we're going to get the ministers together. We're going to talk about it, and you ministers can all share together. And you come to a conclusion. And if it isn't the same conclusion as what I would think, then I need to step aside and say, okay, let's do it your way and see what happens. And if it's an important one, it needs to go to the officials, deacons and all. And then if it needs to be done with the congregation, it needs to be brought before the congregation. That is the purpose of your leader, a person who loves you, a person who cares about you, a person who's willing to share with you of some of the things in the items in the church. It's a labor of love for the glory of God. Not always will people agree on everything. I could give you a personal example that we had at Hayes Church, and that was in the time when we decided, let's have our services at 7 o'clock in the evening. And we no longer had people who had dairy cows and was milking and could hardly get to church on time. So a lot of them said, well, we're having young children and we'd like to get them home in time for get a good night's rest for the next day at school and so on. So we talked it over and decided, let's bring them before the church. And that's what we did. And no matter how I felt, that's what we did. We got, see the wisdom? What I'm saying is the church then voted on it, and most everybody agreed to it. It was a great majority, and even though it doesn't please everyone, the church is back of you. So the leader you choose is the kind of a person that wants to work with you. Follow me? To me, that's wisdom. It's using discreet judgment. It's showing good conduct. It's showing Christian love for every one of you. It's one in whom the Spirit of God dwells to take care of the church, to labor for the glory of God, because we are human beings just like anyone else. Remember that. We have the same temptations in a variety of ways and sometimes different than many of you. That's why you should always pray for your leaders, as well as you continue to pray for your ministers as well. You know, one more thing I'd like to share is that these ministers are one that you're going to have as a presiding one is one that is a person who is consistent with what God's word says is true and right. And in verse 4 and 5 of what Brother Don read, I'm going to just reread it in this first chapter, third chapter of 1 Timothy. One that ruled well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Is he perfect? The answer is no. Is he going to have some unruly children? The answer may very well be yes. That doesn't mean he's not doing his best. Remember that. Let me put it this way. I remember at home as I was growing up and didn't always please Father the way we should have and everything, but we were corrected. But when we started doing and getting a little older, we started doing things on our own and Father left us go because we were more or less interested in that area. For one of the things is that I used to enjoy singing, and we had in our high school had what they called a glee club. And when we'd go to sing and had concerts, guess who was there? Well, I bet you can say it in one word, my father. What did that show you? He had an interest in me. He had an interest in each one of our children, whether we did things that he didn't like or not, but he still tried his best to work with us. That's the kind of a person that you're looking for. That's the kind of a person that loves each of the children. I'll give you an example of one that's the opposite. Not too long ago, we were at a game where one of our grandsons was in. And as the game was progressing, one of the children hollered over at his dad, "Hey, Dad, look how we're doing." And he kept looking and hollering, and apparently his dad never bothered to look, never answered, never said a thing. And I could see the disappointment and the tragedy that leads to a person who is discouraged and starts going away. You want a leader that when someone is in dire need to help, whether spiritually or whatever, you need a leader who is going to assign someone to go to see them or share and go with them and work with them, not turn his back and walk away. Are you with me? I know you are. I'm not telling you anything new. In other words, this person cannot ignore his own family. He is to take care of his own family. Take time to be with your own family. I'm talking about your own personal physical family, your wife and the children that you have. Spiritual leadership begins at home. If a man is not willing to care for his own, he's not willing to discipline them, unless his children go free and doesn't teach them properly, then that person is not qualified to be the leader in the church. Are you with me? And I think you are. God bless you as you think about that. Here in Timothy, he goes over a number of things that the brethren have mentioned. He's to be blameless, the husband of one wife. He's not divorced and remarried. He's vigilant. He's a person who works temperately. He's sober. He keeps at it. He does his best. He's of good behavior. That's what my father used to always say. You behave yourself. You know, well, that's the same thing. He's given to hospitality. He's willing to show kindness to everyone. He is able to teach. It says not given to wine. I often thought about that. Well, I found out through my grandmother that in years gone by, they used to have something in the basement to help you out so that if you got sick, they'd give you a little bit, which means exactly what Jesus taught, a little wine for thy stomach's sake. But this simply means a person who can control himself and doesn't go down there and start drinking, you know, and become drunk. You don't want that kind of a person. What else? No striker. Striker simply means to me a person who flies off the handle and gets very hot and angry about something very easily. He's not greedy or filthy lucre. He doesn't want to come around and say, brother, I need some money for my services and so on. No. He's a patient person, not brawler, not covetous, and so on. Let's see, what else here? The last part I want to say is simply this. He's to have a good report of those that are without. You've heard of some people around about, and what do they say about different people and different ministers that you may be considering? And you know, I don't, but I believe that you have ministry here that is faithful. The deacons, there isn't too much difference here. The deacons goes on down through in verse 8, right on through to 13. And they also must prove themselves, as Brother Ken said here. This is, let's see, in 1 Timothy, verse 8 there in the third chapter, it says, not double-tongued. That means he doesn't tell somebody one thing and goes and tells somebody something else. He's also not given to wine. He's not greedy or filthy lucre. That's for money. But he holds fast the faith in a pure conscience. Now that's beautiful. He is interested in church. When the church time comes, he's there. He tries to do his best. He's willing to work and help out in the church in anything that the church has to do. For example, Love Feast, the services that you have, that you may need help in. Your annual visit, I guess you can still have your annual visits here. We do too. And in the early church, what did they take care of? They took care of some of the widows that were neglected. Another place, they delivered goods to those that were in need and so on. So he is a person who does good work to the point that they purchase to themselves a good degree and a great bonus of the faith which is in Christ Jesus. What that simply means, he has good standing among every one of you. So as you think about the deacons, as you're thinking about to approve them, I believe you're going to consider the approval of their good standing among you And if not, then you need to have a scripture reference and put the name "no" beside that particular person. That is your responsibility here this evening. The result of this all is this. I like Acts chapter 6, verse 7. That's the end of the area where they elected the seven deacons, you remember? And they brought them in, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, a good report. I'm going to read that verse 7, and I believe that fits this congregation very well. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples increased in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What a witness! What a blessing! Notice that. That's exactly what we want. We want souls won into the kingdom of heaven. We want souls brought in, and they increased. And I believe also there's something else I want to share with you, and that's the last part of the phrase. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The priests, they were the religious leaders, weren't they? They were the ones that should have known, weren't they? And they saw how that God had, through the Holy Spirit, led them to get deacons to do the work while the ministers could still continue to preach the gospel and to spread the good news. And it doesn't mean that a deacon can't do that. No way. It means that they are to still be full of the Holy Spirit as well. What more can I say? I'm going to say this, and I don't think you'll take it wrong. I believe that you are a good witness to the Southern District of Pennsylvania when you go and show them how well the things are working here, and they would like to have it to be working that well themselves. May the Lord bless you as you are led by the Holy Spirit to elect your presiding elder and for your deacons as well.